Good morning, Symphony Church. Today we're finishing out the book of Joel, and I'll read for us Joel 3, 17 to 21. So you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who dwells in Zion, my holy mountain, and Jerusalem shall be holy, and strangers shall never again pass through it. And in that day the mountains shall drip sweet wine, and the hills shall flow with milk, and all the stream beds of Judah shall flow with water. And a fountain shall come forth from the house of the Lord, and water the valley of Shittim. Egypt shall become a desolation, and Edom a desolate wilderness, for the violence done to the people of Judah, because they have shed innocent blood in their land. But Judah shall be inhabited forever, and Jerusalem to all generations. I will avenge their blood, blood I have not avenged, for the Lord dwells in Zion. So today we close out the book of Joel, and so far we've seen that the warnings that Joel gave to Judah led to their repentance. We see the reversal of God's judgment as he forgives Judah, and lastly we see the promises of God that stem from this refound relationship between the Lord and his people. And we see in our passage this morning the final promise from God that Joel writes. A promise concerning the future of Judah and the prosperity that God has in store for his people. So let's walk through first what exactly God says about what's to come for Judah. In verse 17, God reiterates his promise to be in the midst of his people. He says, I am the Lord your God who dwells in Zion, my holy mountain. Zion is used to represent the land of God's people. And for Judah, this was a reassurance that God once again called them his people, and their land his people's land. So God promises that he will be with Judah, and as we saw in Joel 2, his very presence brings about change. For instance, we see that God protects his people. In verse 17, he promises that strangers shall never again pass through Jerusalem. No warring nation will be able to occupy Judah or reach its cities. They'll be safe and sheltered. We also see that God revives the land, just like he revives the hearts of his people. Verse 18 describes this beautiful landscape that Judah will become, with mountains dripping sweet wine, hills flowing with milk, the stream beds flowing with water. But more important than these things, a fountain shall come forth from the house of the Lord. Here it describes that the very Spirit of the Lord will be poured out to his people like water, and it will transform the nation of Judah to a holy and righteous community. And these are just some aspects of this glorious future that Judah has waiting for them. God's people will inhabit Judah forever, and Jerusalem will be given to all generations, according to verse 20. God will avenge those who are struck by enemy nations, and places like Egypt and Edom were doomed, according to verses 19 and 21. All of this was awaiting Judah, and for God's people, this was essentially a guaranteed path to paradise. What a happy ending to the book of Joel. But if you were to read on past Joel and further into the Old Testament history, you'd find that this is actually far from true. In fact, pretty much the opposite happens to Judah. The people of Judah would go on to experience exile. They see the temple in Jerusalem destroyed. The land is razed, and worst of all, they face a 400 odd year of silence from the Lord, where they can't hear from him at all. And with that, the final promises that close out today's passage might ring a little hollow. But it wasn't because God just decided to go back on his word. We know that our God is a faithful God to the utmost. These promises, they only applied to the nation that was in a right relationship with the Lord, a nation that repented of their iniquities and called upon the name of their God. Judah, although they were that nation at the closing of the book of Joel, would soon go on to fall back to their old ways. They would soon forget the love and the mercy of the Father, and instead they would fill their hearts again with other things. The glorious future of Judah, because of the actions of its people, would actually go on to not be so glorious after all. But, as we might know, the story doesn't end there either. Because all the promises that weren't fulfilled in the land of Judah, they weren't forgotten by the Lord. We saw already that God is a God who remembers. And actually, the full future that Joel hints at in this passage is so much better, because it's a future where the work is finished. You see, Christ cemented these promises by bridging the gulf between us and the Father, so that we will never fall away from our relationship with Him. Although Judah disqualified themselves from this glorious future, we are assured of it by our faith in Jesus, not by our works, not by what we can do, but because of what He has done. There is a new Jerusalem that awaits us, holy and beautiful, even more so than the picture that Joel gives us, where we will be with the Father, and the Father will be with us. It might be hard to fully comprehend and believe this today. If we look around and see our world as it is plainly, it's easy to think that things are far from perfect. But I just want to encourage you today, continue to wait with faith. Be patient and trust that our God is a God who remembers. I'd like to end our time actually by reading from the book of Revelation. And actually, if you feel comfortable, I invite you to close your eyes as I read and picture this day that John describes here. And I hope that this is a picture that you can hold on to, that gives you hope in the promises of our Lord. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne, saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away." And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be their God, and they will be my child." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that these promises are true, that these promises are ones that you remember, Lord, and that you still promise us, Lord. We're so far from deserving, we're so far from having earned it, and we see all through the Old Testament that if it were up to us, that we would fail miserably. But Lord, thank you for your Son. Thank you for what Jesus did on the cross that bridged that gulf, so that even though we will never be worthy, even though we'll never be good, your Son has paid the price for us. Your Son has made it so that these promises will never be taken away from us. Lord, may we live our lives in remembrance of that. May we live our lives in thanks and in awe of this future that is to come. Lord, we're not quite there yet in this world. We're far from it, actually. But I pray that with anticipation, we can prepare ourselves and we can prepare our neighbors for this day, that we can start by living in the kingdom. Lord, help us to do that today. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.